9 8 7 6 5 4 3 2 1 0.
Welcome to a 1UP Club Podcast Network and Trendy Topics Network presentation of 1UP Heads Up E3 2016 Preview. My name is Brian, and on this episode of Heads Up, our panel, an esteemed panel, will actually take a look at the upcoming E3 conference in Los Angeles, California, in just a couple weeks. We're going to take a look at the past, the present, and the future of gaming and what it means to each one of us as individuals. So, at this point, we're just going to jump right into it and introduce our panel. First off, he is the creator of GameBlock.com and the Block Party Podcast, as well as co-creator of the Johnny Good Times Fun Factory Podcast, both of which can be found at 1UP.club and the 1UP Club Podcast Network. He is, you know him, he's Ryan Hamner. What's going on, Ryan?
How you doing tonight, buddy?
Better than I was earlier.
Yeah.
Because after freaking umpteen hours at the softball fields in 90-degree weather, I'm so done with softball after today.
Yeah, it seems backwards because you're in Ohio and I'm in Texas. I should be the one griping to you about the heat, but it's kind of ass backwards here because it was like 50 degrees here today.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, I looked at, what was it? It was 1:30, something like that. I looked at my phone just to see what the temperature was, and it was like 87 where we were at. And I was like, this is unbelievable. And the sun was high. There's no place to escape it if you're in the middle of, like, this large facility that's nothing but baseball and softball fields. Just literally no escape. But luckily, some of our parents were actually smart enough to bring and the freaking canopy tents, and so we had some of those set up, and it was kind of a bunch of parents just huddled under these little 10x10 squares with their camping chairs. Really pretty pathetic, actually.
I hope at least somebody brought, like, some Capri Sun and some fruit snacks to kind of keep you guys going all day. Because, man, you were out there, like, all day, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, we got there at 7 in the morning and got home, I think, about 7:30
this evening. That's a long day, my friend.
Yeah, I'm so done with it. Meanwhile, waiting in the wings is our second host, co-host, guest host, whatever you want to call him. He's our resident expert, really, on all things Microsoft, since we're kind of not in the fold with Xbox One and things like that. With a little bit of PC gaming thrown in for good measure, he plays video games as much as he studies. He's Tucker. What's going on, my man? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. And as for that whole video games as much as I study, that doesn't necessarily work because I don't know if I do study. So, but, you know, I try.
Okay, we'll go with it. Just in case your mom's listening.
Yeah.
They're not paying for college, are you? Are you doing it yourself, or are they paying for you?
I mean, they're partially paying, but it's going fine, so whatever.
Nice. Well, it's been a busy week for all of us, I think. In case people who don't listen to the show or don't listen often enough to know this, our Pittsburgh Penguins are going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Woohoo!
Woo! So that's pretty exciting stuff right there.
It got a little dicey over the last week.
Oh,
you know, at this time last week, we weren't feeling too optimistic as of last Sunday because, man, I was feeling pretty down. I don't know about you guys, but, man, everything worked out in the end.
The last three games almost gave me a heart attack.
It was crazy.
It is really weird, too, because, like, I was around for 09. I've been watching hockey for 25 years, and I know that because my 1A and 1B teams are Pittsburgh and San Jose.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your dream matchup this year.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's unbelievable, and like, to me, at least, and it means a lot to me because of the fact that I literally started watching hockey the year that the Sharks came into the league. And so the whole time, like, it all started, honestly, with Frosted Flakes. Because they had a special back then where you got an NHL hat with, like, 4 UPCs or something like that.
Mm.
And the hat that I had ordered, I ordered solely because it was on the box. And that was the San Jose Sharks hat. And I just started paying attention to the Sharks as much as I paid attention to the Penguins, because we didn't have cable back then, because I grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania. And so I just started reading the paper and following the teams and as much as I could through the paper. And anytime they were on TV, I was watching the Sharks. And I just, one thing after another, I honestly, whenever I met my wife 15 years ago, I had more Sharks merchandise than I did Penguins merchandise, which is kind of odd being out here in the East Coast. It's kind of flipped the script at this point because of the amount of time that I have to watch hockey, but I am happy because I'm going to Game 2 on Wednesday night.
Nice. Oh,
nice.
So it's going to be a dream come true. Now,
will you be wearing that Sharks hat that you got out of the Frosted Flakes? Because, man, that's going to take a lot of confidence to walk into CEC,
oh, yeah,
the Penguins home arena, if you're sporting, as sweet as that Sharks logo is, it's going to take a lot of guts to go in there, man. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not recommended. Nope.
It'd be funny, because I'd end up on that, on the website where they take the basically the jersey file pictures.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons, because I would show up in my circa 1997 San Jose Sharks jersey that has my name on it, which is now a jersey file.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
but back then, it wasn't a big deal. Like, you just go out and do it. And it was literally the first jersey I bought was a San Jose Sharks jersey with my name on it.
Yeah.
And then I would have my ratty-ass Penguins hat just to further jersey file it up. But who knows? I'm just ready for it. I'm ready for it to start. I'm trying to convince my wife to allow me to steal the TV tomorrow for this site, for 1UP.club, so that we can do a full playoff thing. My son and I do a full playoffs with the NHL 94 for the Sega Genesis.
Oh, Lord.
She's got to let you have the TV.
No, yeah,
I know.
Fantastic of an idea to not let you have your way on this, because that is a brilliant move. What a classic video game. Arguably the best NHL video game ever made.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's been so long since I've actually played it.
Yeah, great.
With any kind of like actual dedication.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it holds up after all these years, because back in the day, my God, that game was just, that was the game to sit down and play with your buddies. God, it was just so outstanding.
Here's the thing. One thing I can guarantee, the NPCs haven't gotten any smarter.
No.
So I'd imagine it wouldn't feel that much different besides graphical standpoints. Like,
Yeah
it's, I can assure you it's bad, because the skating mechanics are the worst.
Yeah, no, those weren't the best, but NHL 94 was so much fun.
Yeah, it was.
It's a classic as far as sports games go.
Oh, yeah.
it is, and so I'm trying to convince her to allow Patrick and I to carve out a block and live stream an entire 7-game playoff series between the Penguins and the Sharks on NHL 94. We'll see if that happens.
Well, based on those rosters in 1994, the Penguins should absolutely destroy the Sharks in 4 games.
Yeah.
Well,
if that doesn't pan out that way, because I can't name a single San Jose Shark from 2004.
Yeah.
Or 1994, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you're dealing with Lemieux and Jagr and Stevens and
Francis.
Barrasso and Casper, all of them.
Yeah, that's Penguins in their prime right there. Right after the run-and-gun season that they got their hearts broken by the New York Islanders.
Yeah, Kasparaitis wasn't there yet. It was the Samuelsons.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Ulf and Schell.
Coffee would have been on that team.
Yeah. Jimmy Pack.
Oh, God.
But who knows? I'm going to try to do that. But what the people have joined us for today is not NHL 94 talk, although we could do probably an entire 3-hour episode of just that.
Yeah.
No. They actually tuned in to get our impressions of what we're going to see at E3 in Los Angeles, California, in just a couple weeks. So, I kind of thought that what we do is sort of like what we did last year when we were gearing up for E3, which time flies when you're having fun. Last year, we actually took a look at the previous year. I wanted to kind of scale that down for time's sake today and basically ask you fellows what your highlights were from last year, what you remember the most, what you were really excited about, and what you were actually disappointed in, and how the year really turned out from E3 to E3. So, Tucker, I guess I'll start with you. What were some of the memorable moments from E3 last year, and what did you get over the past year that you really just made an impression on you?
The standouts for me from E3 last year, there was a couple of things. Second, I saw Rainbow Siege, I had to have it. I played the crap out of Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and Rainbow Six Vegas 2, and it kind of lived up to the hype. I don't like that there's not much of a single player and that it's all online, but I can kind of live with it. It's still a lot of fun. The one game, though, that was the top of the mountain of anything that I could ever want, No Man's Sky. It's going to force me to buy a PS4, and even though I think the release date got pushed back, I cannot wait for this game. It's literally infinite.
Yeah, it's back to August 6th, I think it is, so it got pushed back 2 weeks.
Listen, that gives me more time to be able to afford a PS4, so that's okay.
There you go.
And I find it funny that you liked it so much from that just terrible demo, because that would be, like, my major dislike from E3 last year was actually the No Man's Sky demo. It was terrible. Like, oh, my God, between that and the Uncharted 4 demo where it, like, kept looping back on itself.
Yeah, rough conference for Sony last year.
The demo wasn't the best, but the idea for the game was really cool, and I just like that it's infinite. Like, you can play it forever.
Yeah, and that is kind of interesting, actually, because it is going to be a huge game, and I don't think anything this big has ever actually been attempted.
I don't believe so, no.
I mean, it's just a fascinating game, and I think I referred to it as the next Star Citizen earlier on Twitter, because they're just going to keep pushing this thing back because it's so big, and I can't imagine the problems they're having with it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, with this many delays, a lot of times, you know, developers will say, hey, we just need a couple more weeks to put a little bit more shine, add a little bit more polish for you. But when you see this many delays, and especially on a project that is this complicated, just on a mathematical level, it does raise some concerns that this continues to get pushed back. We'll see if they can hit this August date. I'm skeptical at this point.
Yeah, I will be interested to see what they actually have to present at E3, because you would think that it would be pretty close to being done, and that was the other one is the last Guardian, that they just keep showing it at E3, kind of an annual thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of get the feeling that we're going to see something from No Man's Sky again, because, I mean, if it's close enough to being released, just ideally, they come up with a better demonstration than they did. But Ryan, what are some of the things that you liked and disliked from last year, and what ended up some big surprises or disappointments from that show?
Well, a surprise and a highlight for me personally was actually on the Microsoft side last year when they got their conference started off with a bang by announcing the backwards compatibility for the Xbox One, thus opening up their catalog to almost everything on the Xbox 360. Just a massive amount of games for such little bit of programming work. And it just shocks me that we're almost at E3 2016, and Sony has not been able to counter that smooth move by Microsoft. Just a brilliant move, started them off with such great momentum, and as we'll discuss a little bit later on, I think they've carried that momentum on into E3 2016. I think they're going to do some really big things here. On the Sony side, the game that blew me away last year was Horizon Zero Dawn. Even though I'm almost positive that game is not coming out, I think that is going to be a 2017, early 2017 release. That game looks awesome. I mean, it's Transformers in prehistoric times. Looks amazing. The demos they've shown have looked amazing. The gameplay seems smooth. I'm excited to see what kind of story they put behind it. Really looking forward to that one.
Oh, absolutely. Horizon Zero Dawn. I mean, that game just looks absolutely fantastic. And it's honestly, out of all the games that came out at E3 last year, that game for me was the absolute pinnacle of everything that I just wanted once we left that show.
Yeah, it's so unexpected. You know, we had heard about Guerrilla Games. Up to this point, you know, they've done nothing but Killzone. I love the Killzone games, but, you know, it's very much a traditional first-person shooter set in outer space. This was something I did not expect anything like this from a developer like Guerrilla Games, and I'm really excited to see where they go from it. If they can pull this off, make this the next big PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, and the other game was actually Fallout 4, and Fallout 4 I was excited about because I do love that franchise, but Horizon Zero Dawn actually eclipsed that far and away for me. The other massive thing that made me maybe uncomfortably excited was also from Microsoft, and makes me want to get an Xbox One, and that's the Elite Controller.
Oh, Lord.
That controller, I still get uncomfortable feelings in my nether regions. When you mention that controller, that thing is so sleek and so perfect in every way.
But so expensive. It's so expensive. It's $150 controller. Like, I can't even justify playing with something like that. I'll break it.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you, Tucker, if you have one, but I take it by that statement you do not.
No, I'd end up getting one and then just put it in a box and never touch it again. Because it's $150, I'm not taking a chance.
Be like BB-8.
Pretty much,
We got the $150 BB-8, and I played with it for probably a month. Every now and again, I'll pull it down, but for the most part, he sits on the shelf just staring at me.
Yeah,
his head fell off 3-4 times, and I'm like, he's going up on the shelf. Eventually we are going to lose that head, and it's just going to be a ball that rolls around. Not nearly as cool as a BB-8. Tucker, kind of building on my last question to you, have you ever gotten your hands on one, like a Friends controller or like a display
yes,
model?
I have.
Okay,
and
is it as good as it looks? It looks amazing.
It is fantastic. The fact that you can program those back four triggers to anything you want makes it completely amazing.
Yeah,
so you can
set it as
your melee for whatever game you're playing, or just like the little stuff that you might need. And instead of having to move your thumb off the analog stick to hit it, you just slap the thing on the back, and it just makes it so much more fluid.
Yeah, and it's got like the different like sticks you can throw on there to give yourself a different feel. I said in my preview show at the beginning of year over on GameBlock.com that I really expect Sony to respond with their own Elite controller, because I have huge issues with the DualShock, not the feel of it, but the build quality. I'm going to be kind of pissed if Sony doesn't retaliate with their own Elite controller this year.
I don't know if they could, just for the fact that their controllers are so sleek and a lot smaller. They don't necessarily have the space to throw all that extra stuff in there. But if they could, it would make it that much better. So,
yeah, it'll be exclusive with the PlayStation Neo.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much.
I would be so pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, man, because that controller, I want that controller, that Elite controller, so bad. And now that I'm on Steam, I'm like, well, maybe I can go and justify. No, I know I can't justify it, because I spent, what, $20, basically? $14, something like that, on the games that I bought on Steam. And that's
it.
And I'm like, $150 for $14 worth of games? That makes sense.
Yeah, no.
And I don't know enough about electrical engineering to find a way to make it compatible with my PS4 either.
You would probably have to crack the thing open and do that. I don't see how I could ever do that to
I don't know if you do. I'm pretty sure there's an accessory that you can get that you can plug into either a Xbox One or PS4 that allows you to use the other console's controller with that console.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
That's, That's awfully tempting, man.
Because I know a bunch of people that have been talking about it because they have a PS4, but they really like the Xbox controllers. And I'm pretty sure one of my friends ended up getting one, and he uses an Xbox controller to play on his PS4.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I actually read an article after that controller was coming out that talked about the amount of time and money that they put into research and development for that controller.
Oh, it's insane.
It was like they went to 400 gamers' homes or something like that and just basically recorded them playing the game to see how they handled it.
Wow.
Did a build-out, took them back to those people, had them play with it, and then, like, made little adjustments to the thing and to the controller, brought the next one back. It ended up, like, they basically said they never looked to make their money back on that controller. But it was basically strictly for esports people. And I mean, everything that I've read about it just says that it's just such a great controller. And far and away, that was my favorite thing about E3 last year. And No Man's Sky actually was my most disappointing thing, though, because that presentation, like, I understood, you know, basically the massiveness of the game, but the presentation made it, like, completely anti-fun.
Yeah, see, I don't even know why, but I was able to give them a pass on that bad presentation just because I liked the setup of the game and the idea for it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, their presentation was really, really bad. It was glitchy. It was just, it didn't look good. But given that it had, the release date was not supposed to be for however long it was whenever they released it, year and a half, I think,
mm-hmm.
I was giving them the time to just, you know, get all that fixed in hopes that it would be what I'm expecting it to be.
Yeah.
And in their defense, I think the demos that they've done since, and there's been three or four of them, it's been much improved. Those have gone much better. I know IGN has been doing quite a bit of, like, Let's Plays, and I've seen a couple of those. And it seems like almost all the problems of the E3 presentation have been corrected at this point.
I hope so, because it just looked like a glorified search engine sort of thing of like Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And I've been more of a fan of the game than you, Brian, but I fully agree with you. That demo was absolute. It was just a turd. It was just painful. I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, I'm into this game, and I just, it's like watching your kid in a talent show, like, miss all the notes singing, whatever song, you know. It's just like, you're just, oh god, I love you, but you're just not doing very good.
Yeah, it was just, it just left a bad taste in my mouth, and I get why people would, you know, would like it, and like the concept of it. I just couldn't get past that demo, it was just so bad.
I've got it pre-ordered, so whenever it does get released, we'll see if that's 2016 or not, but, you know, I, you know, they're gonna have to really have a bad demonstration, assuming they have one at this year's E3, to turn me off to the point where I cancel it. I'm still excited about the game.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. Now, that was 2015. We've actually turned the calendar by a couple months at this point. 11 and a half, to be exact. And we're looking at the schedule. I'm just gonna go over the schedule for this year's E3 conference. Now, the press conference for EA is apparently going on right now. Which,
is it?
I don't know. Like, at the E3Expo.com, which is E3's website, they actually have Watch on the EA press conference, which kind of ticks me off because I didn't realize that it was going to be going on now.
I thought EA wasn't having any kind of presence at all at this year's E3.
No, see, the one that I was looking at said their 2016 media presentation Sunday, June 12th at 1.
Maybe it is, but they have a watch. They have a link and it says watch. Let me see here. I'll just
Is it maybe last year's?
I don't know. Okay, yeah, it's a typo on their screen is what it is.
Okay.
Because the website itself won't open to anything. It's a 404. Okay, so you said the June 12th?
Yes, at 1 p.m.
At 1 p.m., so EA goes first. They're not going to be on the main floor, is the big difference for EA this year. They're going to be off the side doing sort of their own thing, which is new for EA. Previously, they'd always had their own show, but apparently they're fighting back a little bit against the press-only atmosphere of E3 itself. So this year they're going to put on their own show off the side, kind of off-Broadway, if you will, and have gamers be a big part of that conference, which is a good thing.
Yeah, especially for a company that doesn't have the greatest reputation amongst gamers.
Yeah.
You know, EA is consistently wins, like, the worst corporation or whatever, voted on by gamers, movie fans, and stuff like that. So what a brilliant PR move to sell it as a, hey, we're going to let you touch everything. We're going to let you play all the games hands-on. It's not corporate whatsoever. Please stop voting us that award.
Yeah. Where everybody plays Madden, and then they'll have... whatever.
Mass Effect will be there. Big Mass Effect presence, I'm guessing.
Yeah. What was the new one that's coming out? It's Mass Effect something. I can't remember.
Andromeda. Mass Effect Andromeda. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, well, after EA's press conference, some 6 hours later, you will have Bethesda going next, which Bethesda was far and away my favorite conference of last year's show. But they will go at 7 p.m. That's Pacific Daylight Time or whatever. And then June 13th, the following day, at 9:30 a.m., you've got Microsoft, followed up at 1 o'clock by Ubisoft, or Ubisoft, depending on who you are and how you want to pronounce it. Sony goes at 6 p.m., which Sony always cracks me up because they always go after Microsoft, and that kind of ticks me off. I hate that. I hate it. Because... I wish they'd just alternate who goes last because they're able to make those adjustments to their presentations.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, Microsoft goes in the morning and Sony goes at night. And then Nintendo goes on the 14th, the following day, at 9 in the morning.
Isn't Nintendo's just a live stream of Zelda? Like, isn't that all it is?
It's not in the traditional sense. I thought it was something pre-recorded.
I was going to say, at least from the schedule that I'm looking at, it literally just says Nintendo's E3 2016 Zelda livestream.
Yes. Yes, they are going to have a full 24-hour stream of Zelda.
Oh, jeez.
The Legend of Zelda. and the other thing that we're actually looking for, and we will kind of blow up my outline here as we need to, which I'll just skip it right ahead to Nintendo since we are talking about them. And Nintendo, they got a lot going on right now, which is kind of odd leading up to E3 because the past several years they've been generally pretty quiet. But they will have The Legend of Zelda being streamed on Nintendo Direct for a full day. The thing, though, that everybody is kind of holding their breasts about is the new console, the NX. Now, we don't know what it's actually going to be called. All we know is NX. We don't know what it's going to be. We don't know how it's going to operate. Any thoughts from you guys about what they should do, what you'd like to see out of the console?
I'd like to see a more traditional controller than just, like, the gamepad. I understand you can get the controllers for the Wii U, but they don't come with it, and I think they're like $30, $40 a pop. That whole gamepad thing was cool, but it's just so clunky that they need to just go back to, like, standard controller.
Yep, totally agree.
And if they bring back motion, oh, so help me, I will not buy the thing.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, I too kind of wish they'd just get away from the gimmicks.
Yeah.
Like, go with the strength of your IP. If you're gonna focus on your IPs, you just go with the strength of them, because everybody loves Mario games. Everybody, especially like a Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Go with the Zeldas. Go with the Metroids. Now, why haven't we seen any kind of Metroid game lately? Yep. Some Mega Man stuff. I'd love to see some Mega Man coming.
Be great.
It's just they have so many properties that they could really just use to their advantage. And unfortunately, it's Splatoon. Splatoon has been a
huge
hit.
That game was fantastic.
Yep.
And it's like, But yeah, I mean, like motion controllers. Now we got data pad controllers, and you got a whole tablet that you got to carry with you when you want to play the Wii U. And it's like, yeah. I'd love to see them just get away from that gimmick. But with the NX, one of the things that I'm kind of wondering about is they're putting a lot of focus as well on mobile. And we're supposed to be seeing some mobile games possibly featured by Nintendo in their presentation. Nothing known for sure, but hey, have you guys downloaded the Miitomo app?
I have not. No.
I did, but I haven't taken the time to set it up yet because I honestly don't see what it is that you would do with it. It just seems to me like the PlayStation Messenger app is all it is with avatars or Miis.
I was going to say, what I'd imagine it would be is something close to like that, you know, Sony Messenger or the Xbox Smart Glass, where it's just like an extra accessory to use with the system. It doesn't really do a whole lot, but it just gives you the ability to control it without actually having to use a controller or what have you. You can just do it from your phone.
Yeah, and those things, a situation like the, I can only speak about the Sony Messenger app, it's cool for like 15 minutes, and I'm over it. I just want to focus on playing the game. Generally, I feel that way about all smartphone, tablet. I felt that way about the Fallout map, which was easily the best additional, like, enhancing app for a phone or a tablet that I played. You know, you can call up the map. You can do all that type. You can adjust your weapons and stuff. You can craft with it. But it was cool for like an hour. And I was just like, you know, I just want to play the game the way the developers meant me to play it. And it doesn't factor in this tablet. I want the original experience.
Yeah. I couldn't even do the Fallout thing because it frustrated the hell out of me that I had to look away from the screen.
Well, it didn't pause either, so you'd be looking at your map. Like, at least if you're switching weapons traditionally in Fallout, you go into the weapon menu, and you're not going to get killed while you're changing your weapons. But you use the app, a bloatfly is going to come up, and you're dead before you know what's going on. So, it was a great idea. I'm sure somebody thought it was brilliant, and the execution just wasn't, it just didn't work out.
I think one of the worst, like, add-on apps that they've ever done, or at least at the start, was the one for Destiny. It was nice because it made it so that you could transfer stuff between characters while you were playing the game, but before they'd fixed it, if you were in flight between, like, going to do a mission, as you transferred something from another character, it was lost forever. It just went.
It disappeared.
Bye!
I lost one of the best rocket launchers in the game because it just disappeared and I couldn't get it back until it would drop again.
That would drive me insane.
We actually talked about this. We actually talked about Destiny on the last episode of Heads Up because I kind of taken a principled stand against Destiny and buying it.
Oh, yeah, no. It's become... It's become something where it's just you grind the same thing over and over and over and over again, and that's all you do.
Yeah.
And for me, it was the fact of the matter that they put out a game that ended up basically subpar in most people's opinions, and then whenever they came out with The Taken King, they said, oh, yeah, by the way, this is what we wanted it to be from the beginning, so please pay us more.
Yeah, and The Taken King did make it a lot cooler. There was actual cutscenes. There was an actual story. It tweaked a bunch of things where there was a problem, but it wasn't enough to keep me hooked on it and keep me playing it, because it still, at the end, was you do the raid, you hope you get the drops. If not, you come back next week and do it again. Like, that's it.
No.
That would get old in a hurry.
Yeah.
Even coming from somebody that plays World of Warcraft, which once you get to the end, all you do is raid, except they have theirs set up differently, where Destiny, you can go in and figure the whole thing out in, like, 3-4 hours and get it done. Which isn't a true raid to me, where I'm used to going in, putting in 4 hours on one boss, and hoping you can kill it. Like...
See, and this actually is, it brings up one of the things that I really hope Nintendo does, and I think they absolutely must do, and that's do everything they can to bring in groups like Bungie and other third-party developers, make the NX friendly enough to where people can develop without having it be such a hassle, and actually get titles on this machine.
Because third-party support is just so important, and at some point it just feels like Nintendo... lost track of how important that was. I mean, you guys remember back on the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, how big of a presence like Konami and Capcom and Activision back then had all those stuff. I mean, they were a huge presence on those systems, and they're just not anymore. And I don't understand what happened, where that went so wrong.
I was going to say, I think the only, like, third-party games on the Wii U, there might have been a Call of Duty, there was a Batman or two, there was Bayonetta, and that was about it. Everything else was Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they can't survive if they do that again.
No.
Not in today's gaming economy. It's just not possible.
The only thing that I do see that they do have going, I know that they're going to try to focus a little bit on the mobile market. They have partnered with a major mobile developer in Japan. They're coming out with an Animal Crossing game, a Fire Emblem game, and Pokemon Go later this year. So we might actually see little tidbits of those at their conference. But if they're going to get into the mobile game, like, I don't know if that's enough to keep Nintendo being relevant. But I do know that King Games seemed to have made a whole lot of money with a Candy Crush game. So do you think that the mobile market might be the saving grace of Nintendo, since companies like Microsoft and Sony haven't been doing anything like that yet?
I personally don't think so. I think whenever smartphones first became a thing, that the whole mobile game was a big hit, and even though Candy Crush is still one of the biggest money makers of all time, when it comes to mobile games, it has to be something that's simple and addicting with microtransactions. And if Nintendo does decide to go that route, people are going to lose interest so fast. Because once again, it's the same thing over and over and over again. And forcing you to spend more money so you can keep playing the game.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Ryan?
You know, I'm not that familiar with the situation, but I mean, I kind of agree with where you guys are. I just don't... I'm just never going to be big into the mobile angle of it. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll put out something that gets its hooks into me. I just don't know yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know that that's what Nintendo needs to do. I'm sure it can't hurt. They have the resources, the ability to make the games, and maybe like a game like Pokemon might be able to take advantage of microtransactions.
Well, and guys like you and me, Brian, I mean, we're of the age, and I don't know how old you are, Tucker, but you're a couple years younger than us, right?
Quite a few, 18, so yeah.
Okay, so yeah, your experience with the NES is probably very, very limited now.
I actually grew up only having an NES and an SNES in the house, so...
This is the happiest story of a kid that's 18 that I've ever heard, and I love it. It's awesome. You got good parents.
Yep.
Okay, so we're all on the same page then, but I genuinely want to be excited about a Nintendo console again. I remember when the Super Nintendo came out, and I was just, like, jumping up and down. I gotta have that thing. And my dad was like, well, you got this one. What's wrong with this? You don't understand. It's 16-bit. I have to have
one. It's super.
I want to get that, like, child... like enthusiasm again. I want to be excited about a Nintendo console. And when did Super Nintendo come out? 1993, 94? That's the last time I was excited about a Nintendo console. I want them to do that again.
Yeah, and that's just it. Their problem has been that they've been so far behind the ball with technology and concepts. And I think their concept, they're stuck in the old world kind of idealism, to where they're trying to just rely simply on a specific demographic, which is the young people, which is fine, but you also have to recognize that if that's what you're going to do, you're going to end up losing a lot of money, because all the people that grew up and are familiar with those characters are now 37.
So you gotta
do something if you're Nintendo. And to find a way to bridge that gap, because as the gaming community matures, if you still stick around with games that are very much like a Spyro or Nintendo or whatever, Super Mario or whatever, you're going to lose the audience, because we're going to grow weary of it.
Well, the only thing that you can kind of contradict that with, Brian, is kids. you know, you and me, people our age are having kids, of course, so there is, like, the nostalgia thing that, you know, it's kind of fun to play, like, Zelda with my daughter. Or
yes.
Super Mario and stuff like that. So they do have that going for them again. Like you guys said a couple minutes ago, they just need to abandon the gimmicks. The absolute worst thing that happened to Nintendo as a company was the wild success that the Wii saw, because they proved that, hey, that's what people want. They want Waggle. They want the nunchucks. They want the stupid little plastic steering wheel to steer Mario Kart with. That's not what we want anymore. That was just a phase some people were going through, and I hope that we sent the right message with the very poor Wii U sales.
I haven't touched my Wii Nintendo Wii hockey sticks in forever.
Nintendo Wii had hockey sticks? Yeah, I had no idea.
That's simultaneously the most ridiculous and awesome thing I've ever heard.
They're here. It was fun for like an hour.
What Wii game had hockey on it? Was there a Wii hockey game?
Was it Wii Sports?
Yeah. It's EA Sports came out with it. It's an NHL hockey game for the Wii, and you fit the controller, the nunchuck controller, and the other one with the joystick on it. You actually fit it into a little mini hockey stick. And you pull the trigger and you take shots with the stick.
Wait.
And stuff like that. It's insane. It's fun.
It's crazy.
Was that NHL Slapshot or whatever it was called?
It might have been called that. It's
see,
my basement is torn apart, so I can't spot it right now.
Oh, I didn't know that was a real game. The one time I played that, I was at the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I thought it was just something they had set up there. I didn't realize it was a real thing. Oh.
It's crazy. Hmm. How well did it work, Brian? Was it fairly accurate?
No. It was just fun.
Was it? Yeah, it was fun though.
Yeah, it was fun. Like you use the joystick on the nunchuck adapter. You use that to skate around, and then you just simulate taking shots with the little hockey stick. It was about, I don't know, a foot and a half, 2 feet, somewhere in between there.
That's bigger than I would have expected.
Yeah,
in my head.
Just fit right in.
This is crazy.
It is. It's nuts.
Yeah, it doesn't excite me enough to go out and buy a Wii U and the hockey sticks, but
yeah,
I mean,
no. Not even in the slightest.
I want to see a vine of you and Patch playing this, to be honest.
Yeah, we have it here. We got it for Christmas the year that it came out, and we spent... I mean, you wouldn't spend a whole lot of time with it, and part of the problem was that you'd want to play other things, too, so you'd end up having to take everything apart, and...
Yeah.
But when you'd sit there and play with it, it was so funny because you'd just be standing there in the living room. I'd have one, my son would have one, and we'd just be sitting there and just playing and skating around and taking the shots. And you'd just see us, like, frantically taking shots and hacking at the puck and really just hacking in midair. And it was fun, but, I mean, again, it just fell into that whole thing where it was just another gimmick is all it was.
Yeah.
And another thing where Nintendo has seemed to have at least lost me, and for what I know, most people my age, is their lack of online play. It's all local. There are very few games have multiplayer, and I think the mic for the Wii is like something you sit on top of your TV. It's not even like a headset. That's not how that works. That's not going to work.
You're not going to sell a hardcore gamer.
No.
Type of setup. And, you know, Brian, you and I think we went on this tangent last week about how there's no local multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
From Sony and Microsoft, and that still is an issue for me. But I don't want just exclusive local multiplayer.
Yeah.
There's room enough there. I think you have to provide that service to both. So, I mean, Nintendo could learn something from Sony and Microsoft, and vice versa there. Give us both forms of multiplayer. There's no reason to... they can be mutually exclusive here. Just let them play nice together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. And part of the knock on Nintendo, I think they are trying to get more into the multiplayer online stuff, because their key system to where you had to, good luck searching for your friend.
You had to
input their DNA structure in order to actually link up with them. I think they are trying to address that, and we might find out more. I think that's actually why they kind of introduced the Miitomo, to get people accustomed to their system. But I'm just holding out on it because Nintendo, they have a way of dazzling you with mediocrity.
That's one way to put it. I mean,
yeah, that would actually make a great tagline for that company.
That would be so funny. Please pay me.
You heard it first on 1UP Club.
But, I mean, because that's really what it comes down to. Like, when you rely so much on nostalgia like they have, and then you just, okay, it's just the same shit, just a different way of presenting it. Mashed potatoes taste the same if they're shaped like a rhino. And that's basically what they've been doing with everything. But I really want them to succeed, and hopefully this year's E3 will actually allow them to break out and at least put something competitive out there.
Yeah.
Now, the problem, as we'll segue into the next group, is that if they're going to put out this Nintendo NX and expect it to compete with what's out there now, Microsoft and PlayStation, for that matter, are likely going to be introducing new consoles themselves. And we're going to go with Microsoft first, because they actually announced this week that they will be having a new, much more powerful Xbox One, which I am actually now calling the next Fox, just because I want to come up with my own term for it.
Mm.
Now, Tucker, you have an Xbox One, so I would imagine that you stayed pretty on top of this.
Yeah, and given that I have one of the earlier Xbox Ones that only has the 500 gigabyte hard drive, I'm already out of space. So I've been looking for a reason to buy a new one, and if this is the reason, I'll take it.
Yeah, didn't they say it's like four times as powerful as the current generation of Xbox One?
Which, yeah. I believe that's what it was, which is absurd, because even like the older model Xbox One that I have is still amazing. Like, things look gorgeous. The graphics are amazing. I can't understand why they need to be four times more powerful.
I don't know, and I can't figure that out, because literally just like 2 weeks ago, Phil Spencer was like, well, we're not going to do anything until we're not going to go in half measures here, and we're not going to be putting anything out that's just going to be just a minor upgrade. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, by the way,
Unless they're assuming that this, you know, new Xbox One isn't considered a minor upgrade, and that for whatever reason they see a deficiency with the Xbox One, and that they're like, alright, well, this is going to be, like, the new thing. It's much better, and people absolutely replace the one they have with this.
Yeah, which would be kind of weird, because that would make the Xbox One basically around for, what, 3 years? Actually coming out with something completely different?
Well, the Scorpio, the one you guys are talking about, the 4 horsepower, the 4 times one, that's not coming out till 2017, is it?
I think that was the expected release date, but that always changes. So,
well, I mean, if they were able to make that go until fall 2017, that would be a 4-year window, which to me, I think that's a lot easier to sell your fans that got on board on day one on a 4-year life cycle rather than Sony asking fans to buy the Neo only 3 years after you bought your PlayStation 4 at launch.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the thing, I think what's driving this is simply the VR community. They're banking on the VR community becoming a big thing, because one of the things they also announced was a partnership of sorts with Oculus and the Rift, because this new console will actually be more compatible with the Oculus Rift, which is a huge deal, because we got PlayStation VR coming out this fall. Oculus is already out, I believe.
Possibly. I know they had demos out for, like, the last 2 years. I don't know if they've hit, like, stores yet, but they very well might have.
Yeah, I know it's been reviewed in all the major publications, but I don't know if that's the consumer model, or if that's, like, a preview model, or what.
Yeah, the entire market is just kind of messed up and screwy right now, and I believe the Oculus came out, and the Vive is on its way as well.
Yeah, the Vive, I believe the Vive comes out soon.
Yeah, because Oculus came out first.
Yes.
Then came the Vive. And there's a series of a bunch of different smaller ones that are coming out. But I actually pat myself on the back when it comes to this, because I stated back way back, and basically it's been confirmed by this deal, that Microsoft will no doubt actually partner with Oculus based on the fact that the controllers were compatible. The Xbox One controllers were compatible with the device. Now, the smart thing about this for Microsoft is they allowed Oculus and Facebook to essentially spend all the money on the research and development and just offer a little bit of help here, a little bit of help there. And now with this new system, they're going to be fully taking advantage of the Oculus partnership. Now, with a more powerful Xbox One, Ryan, I'll go to you with this question, because you're like me and don't have an Xbox One. They come out with one that is that powerful, is going to be much more compatible with a VR unit like Oculus. Is that going to be something that's going to push you to the edge of buying the Xbox One or Nextbox or whatever the hell they're going to call it?
Well, I can tell you that based on... Now, of course, we haven't seen any official specs, so I'm going just by the fact that it's coming in 2017, according to the article, and that it's going to be 4 times more powerful. I'm basing this assessment on those 2 facts alone. I would rather buy this Xbox, the Scorpio, the code name for this one, in 2017 than the PlayStation Neo, which is an upgrade over my PlayStation 4, but not nearly the dramatic jump in power that this thing is. I'd rather buy this thing next year than the Neo this fall. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's really insane. And just looking at some of the games, and Tucker, this is where I'll turn it over to you, because you are more familiar with a lot of the Xbox exclusives. Outside of the Gears of War 4, are there any games that you're actually expecting to possibly see for an Xbox exclusivity kind of thing? Is there anything that you would like to see or that you are actually expecting to see?
I won't say that I'm expecting to see it, but I did see rumors on a couple different websites that Rare might be putting out another Banjo-Kazooie game for the Xbox One, and that's true... I don't know if I'll need another game for the next couple years, because it will be solely Banjo-Kazooie. I had the first couple when I was maybe 11, and I sunk so many hours into that game. I need a new one. It needs to happen.
I actually did see something about that. I was like, you got to be kidding me. They're going to do Banjo-Kazooie again?
Banjo-Kazooie was amazing.
It's one of those fun, whimsical games that you play as a kid. It's kind of like a Crash Bandicoot kind of thing.
Yes.
It's where you just play it, and then before you realize that it's happened, like 3.5 hours have gone by.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the most tedious games I've ever played, but by far one of my favorites of all time.
And that would actually be pretty impressive. If they do that. And Rare actually came out with the Rare Collection last year. Did you happen to pick that up?
I did. I have already beat Banjo-Kazooie 1 and then Banjo-Tooie, and I also played Conkers for the first time. Wow, did I miss the boat on that one. Holy crap.
Now, did they upgrade like the control schemes, or did they very much keep it like...
No, they were essentially exactly the same. Just as difficult, just as finicky, but it made the experience that much better because I didn't want them to change that. Like, the second I picked up the controller, I was like, I know how to play Banjo-Kazooie, and it just worked. There was no having to relearn, oh, they changed this and this. It was just, you pick up the controller and go.
Nice. That's awesome.
Was RC Pro-Am in that collection, Tucker?
Yes, it was. I haven't touched that yet because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I had a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo, but I had probably like 30 to 40 games between the two of them, and I always just stuck to the same ones. I had all the Mario games. It was Uncle Fester's something. It was really bad.
Fester's Quest?
Yes. Oh my god.
That was so weird, but it was awesome.
It was so bad, and it was so weird, but it was so much fun.
I love that game.
And like, that's totally what would do it for me too, is if they went and they just brought back all these retro games for the Xbox, I would be like, I would be going out and buying that machine so quick, it'd be ridiculous.
Got upscaled a Fester's Quest on the PlayStation Network. I would literally, I'm just gonna grow my beard down to my chest because I'm never gonna shave again. I'm gonna be too busy playing Uncle Fester. God, that game was awesome.
That'd be fantastic. Oh man, now I'm like, oh yeah, now I gotta go to the retro store.
I think I still have it somewhere, which is the best part.
Don't sell that one on eBay, Tucker. Hang on to that thing. That's a great game.
Whenever we're done here, I'm probably gonna go try and find it because I know where my Super Nintendo is, and I know what I'm doing for the rest of the night.
You're making good life choices there.
that's awesome. Yeah. And we'll just move on now to the PlayStation. The PlayStation Neo, we've heard rumors here and there and in soft specs and things like that, and it does appear to be a semi-significant upgrade that's also not something that most people are really super-duper interested in, I think is a fair kind of assumption. Have you heard anything in your travels, Tucker, of... Is anybody excited about Neo at all?
From what I know, it's only the people that have 4K TVs, because the big thing with the Neo is that it will be able to run games at 4K, and unless you've shelled out the $1,000 plus to get a 4K TV, it really won't make that big of a difference.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't have the 4K TV. I don't know really what the difference is going to be. I just don't see it as a major upgrade that's going to move mountains at E3 this year. I just don't see it. Unless they're able to somehow convey just what a difference it is on the big screens, I just don't understand why they do it. And that's why I think that PlayStation is actually going to focus much more on the VR experience at this year's E3 conference, because Ryan, you actually did pre-order VR?
Yep.
Are you looking forward to seeing a bunch of the VR games, and how much of the PlayStation conference do you think is going to be focused on VR?
Well, again, you know, we've talked about this in the past. It's so hard to demo VR with a guy up on stage. There's only so much you can do with that, because the whole selling point of virtual reality is you're putting the thing on your head, putting the controllers in your hands, and you are immersing yourself into that environment. So, I mean, it's a real problem to demo that unless you're there and there's a kiosk set up so you can actually put the gear on your head and enter the virtual reality world. That said, I think they are going to showcase a couple of these games that Robinson, I think it's called. It's the one where you're a kid lost in space. That's a big VR game I expect them to really push. There's another one that I can't think of what it's called. Gollum. Gollum is one I really expect them to sell, because that supposedly is the front runner for being the best PlayStation VR game that's going to become. And who knows? I mean, maybe they're going to rework No Man's Sky to have more VR stuff in it. We just don't know. Maybe that's part of why it got delayed. That's going to be a more prominent part. I kind of hope so. I think that a game like that, it would really work well.
That would be pretty wild if they did the No Man's Sky with that.
I think it'd be great. Oh, Gran Turismo, too, supposedly has a major VR element to that. So, I mean, think of that right there. If you can get a head start on Forza, have VR in there, you know, kind of close that gap on Microsoft's flagship racing franchise, which has a huge lead. I mean, it's the best racing franchise out there.
Yeah, PlayStation's going to have Drive Club VR, though.
Oh, God. don't speak of it.
Drive Club. Oh, my.
Yep. One of the worst racing games I've ever played, and I've played Rad Racer.
You know what would be fun is freaking Mario Kart in VR.
Oh, that would be... See, that would almost be a little bit nauseating, though.
That would be so incredible, like being caught in one of those wild, wacky race courses.
You hit one of those bananas, and I might puke if I had a VR headset on. Like, that would...
spins.
Yep, yeah, that you missed
too much.
It would not. Oh God!
You like show video of the person playing, and they hit the bananas, and then they just throw up.
Like, see, it feels like you're actually there.
That's not a good thing. Brian, as a guy who has not pre-ordered VR, and you've been much more tepid on virtual reality than I have been, what do you need to see from Sony at this conference that would convince you to get on board and get that pre-order in before it comes out?
I don't think anything, honestly. Like the things that I've seen from Oculus and from Vive and things like that, the reviews that I've seen, the videos that I have watched, I'm just like, okay, I'm very lukewarm to it, and I just don't, I don't see me wanting it or needing it or feeling a desire to play these games in VR. I just don't. And I think part of that is because of the specific types of games that I like to play, which tend to be the more story-driven and long-term games, the games like Fallout that are going to take many, many hours, that really aren't going to be something that will be for VR. Because I'm not, as I've said before, I'm not going to wear a thing on my head and isolate myself from the world around me for several hours at a time, because I simply can't do that.
Well, and I kind of wonder if that kind of reaction, I mean, by the very nature of it, you have to wear that thing on your head, which I'm guessing is not very comfortable.
I don't know about that, because I know people that have, like, gotten the chance to try at least the Oculus, and they said, other than the fact that it itself is kind of heavy, you don't even realize it's there.
But, I mean, it's not as, the point I'm trying to make is it's not as comfortable as sitting on your couch.
Oh, looking obviously. At just
you. I mean, you've got that on there, and kind of like Brian was saying, you're isolated, you know, if you've got children in the house, which, you know, me and Brian do, you're constantly being, hey, Dad, you know, can you fix this, fix my toy, I broke it, or can you put batteries in this, you know. I just don't know, if you're constantly taking all that gear off and putting it back on, I think that's going to defeat the purpose of the VR. It's
yeah.
stuff like that that still has me very skeptical, and I'm kind of watching for the first reviews for Sony VR to come trickling in, which I know we're a long ways out, but to keep an eye on that, because I might still cancel that pre-order, because I just don't know, as a guy with a 7-year-old and a cat running around, if VR is going, if I'm going to get enough isolated time to actually enjoy the VR experience.
Exactly. I live, being 18, I live with my parents, and I have 3 other siblings, plus 3 dogs and 3 cats. So being able to have something like that on my head and not have to, you know, look around every 5 minutes because somebody's getting into something is not possible.
Your dad's going to be asking you to put the batteries and stuff.
Or the cat will, like, knock something over and I have to go clean that up. Like, it's a mess. And VR, I think it's cool. It's a really cool concept. But a lot of the demos I've seen thus far are kind of gimmicky games. The ones that are fun for, like, maybe an hour, and then you get tired of it, whatever. Unless it's a horror game. If I get a VR headset, I will most likely be spending most of my time on horror games, just because it makes the experience so much better.
And that might be what would hook me in, like, if there was a Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th game coming out. If they did that in a VR, I might be interested in playing that. But, again, it's like, it's just one of those things that if it's just going to be, like, a single game or two that I'm even remotely interested in, then it's just not going to be an option for me.
And they do have a couple of cool-looking horror games. I know they're doing one based on the Paranormal Activity movie franchise. And I know we all immediately cringe because it's a licensed franchise. How you're like, oh, shit, this is going to suck.
But at the same time...
Yeah, and I've seen some footage of that, and supposedly it is pretty good, and it is very scary, given the context of the system. So something like that kind of trips my trigger, and draws some interest for me from that. But I'm kind of like Brian, I prefer that longer, 16-hour story-driven experience. I don't know how many PlayStation VR games are going to be like that. I'm expecting more of these, like, 2-3-hour, kind of tie-in experience, just by the very nature that you have this thing on your head. I don't know if they can design a game that's meant to be played for 4 or 5 hours at a time.
I don't think they can. Most of the games, you know, with you guys, it's Fallout. Me, it's like Witcher 3 and stuff. It's games that you sit down, and they're 40-hour games, and you sit down and play it for 3 hours at a time. I don't know if I could sit down for 3 hours and play the same game on a VR headset. It's just, there's too much going on.
Yeah.
It's too reliant on you actually, like, moving your head and all that for that amount of time, it wouldn't work.
You have to literally have no friends or no other life.
Yeah.
And that's just something I can't get behind.
like Tucker said, even pets, you know, pets are knocking stuff over, and if you've got the gear on and you hear a large crash, you're going to have to take that stuff off and investigate what the hell the cat just broke.
Yeah, and that's going to suck, but just looking at it, like, I almost expect PlayStation's E3 conference to end up almost a 40% VR thing, because they've got it coming out in October, I believe, and they're going to want to launch this thing for success, or else they're going to lose a lot of money on it, and PlayStation VR will end up kind of like connectors to Microsoft, kind of that big black eye that they'd just rather not discuss at this point. So I think that they have a lot that they're going to actually end up focusing on. Because if you look last year, it was more about games and stuff like that. And just very little was actually mentioned about Project Morpheus as it was back then. But I think that's what we need to see more from the PlayStation conference and Microsoft conference, for that matter, is less about the consoles, with the exception of the, you know, any kind of major thing like the Neo or the consoles itself. You gotta hear about that, but I think if they're smart, they're gonna say, hey, this is about the games at this point, because we should be in that point in the life cycle for these consoles where we're getting some of the best games that we're gonna see out of the companies.
We are starting to see that. I mean, we saw Uncharted 4 just a couple of weeks
which
ago.
Which was fantastic.
Masterpiece. And, I mean, we've gotten some cool stuff over on the Xbox. I mean, Tomb Raider last fall. Tucker, I don't know if you played that. But all reports I've seen is just... Yeah, it's just amazing, isn't it?
It was pretty. It was really, really, really pretty, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we are starting to get to that point that we are seeing these AAA blockbusters, which up to this point have been pretty underwhelming, in my opinion. We're starting to see them fulfill the promises they deliver at these conferences.
Yeah. And wasn't Phil Spencer's thing last year that their focus is now more on the games rather than everything else? Because I thought that was what he, like, opened with last year.
They're trying, and they did say something to that effect. And you look at the games that they introduced, and the same games that we're probably going to end up seeing this year. Your Final Fantasy VII remake finally happening, your Horizon Zero Dawn, as we talked about earlier. The Last Guardian finally allegedly happened.
I was going to say, hasn't that been a, like, project since, like, 2009?
2009 is when they announced it.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous.
That's absurd.
Well, and I don't know if you guys have seen any of the screen caps from the game, which
You
know, it looks like a game that was running in 2009. It does not look good.
It's bad.
I think it looks awful.
It looks like they took screen caps from that same presentation they gave in 2009 and were like, look, we're still working on this. It still might be a thing. Here you go.
And, like, see what we did? Do you see it? Look closely, because it does. It looks bad. And like, it literally looks like you're on the PlayStation 4 and it looks PlayStation 2 level stuff. And it's almost blurry in a lot of spots when I was watching the videos. I'm like, this is terrible. And unless they completely polish The Last Guardians up, I just don't see how anybody can remain excited about it. I mean...
I think at this point the only people that are fired up for that game and the only people that are going to buy the game are super fans of Shadow of the Colossus and Team Ico. I mean, they just love their work. Their work is outstanding, but it is very niche. You know, it's very much a acquired taste, and they are not going to make The Last Guardian a mainstream popular game. I called it back in January, and I'm sticking to it. I think The Last Guardian disappoints, maybe not critically, but certainly commercially.
Yeah. And one of the games that we actually saw last year that kind of we didn't expect to see was actually Gears of War 4. This year, we're looking like we might be seeing God of War 4 for the PlayStation, with some images leaking out earlier in the month. Ryan, you're a huge fan of the God of War franchise, I believe.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, is this the year that we see the God of War 4 Kratos awesome thing that we were talking about last year, because last year we had actually predicted that would happen.
Yeah, I really thought they would close the show last year with just a logo, you know, coming 2017, just God of War 4 logo would have been, I think that would have absolutely brought the floor down, or brought the roof down at wherever they hold this thing in Los Angeles. It's just such a hugely popular a franchise for PlayStation. They absolutely need to make that announcement, even if it's just the logo this year. They got to show something of God of War that is in the works, especially now that the leak came out.
You know, the cat's out of the bag at this point.
Yeah, you can't go back. You have to show something for God of War this year.
Yeah,
I would think if there is a God of War game in the works, which, given that there were leaks, I'd imagine there's something, even if it's still at the early stages, that they would show it, because they, even with that, when they did Gears of War, they showed, like, the first 10 minutes, and that was it. So you had no idea if it was finished yet. They're just like, we have this, here you go. This is what's gonna happen. And even if they just show me the logo for Gears of War 4, I might buy a PS4 that day. Or God of War 4, that is, rather.
Yeah. And I mean, Sony really is off to a very good start in 2016 as far as exclusive software. You know, Ratchet and Clank turned out really, really well.
God.
The game, that game is outstanding.
I love those.
Yeah, it's so much.
Yeah, the new
one is so much fun, Tucker. I had a blast with it. And then Uncharted 4, of course. So you've got to take that momentum and build upon it. And honestly, just letting fans know that this game is in the works. You just got to do a logo. That's all you need. Coming 2017, keep that momentum going, because I really think stuff like The Last Guardian is going to slow it down a bit. You got to give fans for hope over the horizon that is coming.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think that we've pretty much indicated is it wouldn't take much for Ryan and I to get on board with Xbox. Tucker, what would you need to see out of PlayStation to maybe make you jump on board with them as well?
I mean, I'm already kind of on board. There's been a bunch of games that I've wanted to play. I wanted Until Dawn. I wanted Ratchet & Clank. Uncharted 4. I mean, I've already seen the game the whole way through, but it still looks fantastic. If there was a God of War 4, I'm telling you, I will buy a PS4 that day. That's what will seal the deal.
Did you play the previous games, Tucker?
Yeah, a couple of my friends had PS3s, so I just played 1, 2, and 3 in passing when I was at their house. Ended up literally playing the entirety of each one of the games, and I need a number 4.
They're really fun.
They're so good. And they're so gory, and I just want to rip Ares' head off again. It was so satisfying.
Yeah, and I love what they're doing, too. You know, they realize that they've done everything they can with Kratos in Greece.
Yeah.
And they're willing to take the chance of abandoning that story, because there's no gods left to kill at this point.
Yeah, no, they're all
dead. I'm not spoiling anything by telling you that.
They're all dead.
He's killed them all. He's crazy. He's a lunatic, Kratos is. So they are just going to go ahead and say, okay, let's just take him to a different mythology altogether.
Even if it's the same thing, take him over to Rome. Have him deal with the old Titans. Like, even if it's more of just like, oh, all the gods are dead, Titans come back, take them down. Because they were supposed to be like 8 times as powerful as the gods anyway. So just something like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
that would actually be pretty cool if they had the Titans come back. I mean, there's a lot for each of the systems to actually look forward to and kind of anticipate. Like, that's really kind of the build-up to E3 is all about, is that anticipation of what are we going to see next. And some of the stuff we actually do know. And right now, I'm going to go over, as of yesterday, the list of confirmed games for E3 2016. Now, some of these titles, they just have the titles up, and I know for a fact that it's actually just DLC that's going to be coming out for those specific games, but they don't actually indicate that in the list, like Just Cause 3. It's going to be getting some DLC stuff, but they just called it Just Cause 3, so if you want to nitpick and say, oh, you did wrong, that's fine, go ahead, but I'm just telling you that some of it's DLC, some of it's not. But the list, and you guys can stop me at any point in this, so feel free to do that. in alphabetical order, you've got Attack on Titan, which, aren't they making that a movie?
Yes. I never watched the original anime, or however you say that word. But I know people that did. It was supposedly had a really, really good story to it. There was a couple, like, fan-made games for the computer, which were a lot of fun. So if they can make this into, like, a Hollywood movie with a fantastic game behind it, I feel like it's going to actually explode in the U.S. Like, it's going to be a big thing, because it was so much fun.
Yeah, and they have them, a lot of them on Netflix.
Yes, I believe they are.
Yeah, so I've been actually... I actually passed by them because I don't know what it is. But I like, watched all the Sidonia Knights and stuff like that. And I just, for some reason, I just didn't watch Attack on Titan, even though it's all over the damn place. The second one is Battlefield 1, which a lot of people are really liking the direction they're taking, because instead of doing what Call of Duty is and advancing into the future, Battlefield 1 kind of goes back to World War 1, I believe.
It does, which I really like, because I the only reason I'm buying the new Call of Duty is so that I can get the Call of Duty 4 remastered, and then I'm immediately selling the new Call of Duty.
I can't wait to play Modern Warfare again.
Yup, I was really hoping it was going to be Modern Warfare 2. Even if they just do that backwards compatibility, I'd be happy. But the fact that Call of Duty will now have a level where you fight in ships in space, that's not Call of Duty anymore, and I'm out. I don't want it.
Yeah, the last three or four Call of Duty games have gotten so ridiculous.
It's
with
absurd.
The exoskeletons. And it's just like they've forgotten what makes those games fun. And they just feel like, hey, we'll throw crazy inventions from the future.
Yeah, like...
Here's a dog that you can look through. He's got a camera on him. It's just, what? I mean, it's just not even remotely realistic. So I love the fact that Battlefield said, you know, we can't beat Call of Duty at their game. We're going to go back in time. We're going to make a kick-ass game, hopefully, and just go that direction. So it feels like they're kind of taking a bold move here, and I kind of hope it pays off.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Battlefield 1 blows Infinite Warfare out of the water release
days.
I kind of hope it does.
Was it Call of Duty 2 set in about that same time period as well?
I don't...
Not sure. 3 was World War 2.
No, Call of Duty 2 was World War 2, because I remember having Call of Duty 2 Big Red 1, which was World War 2. So I'd imagine that the first iteration of Call of Duty 2, since there were technically two different versions, was also World War 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I had the one for the 360. I think it was Call of Duty 2 that I had, and I was just terrible at it. I can't stand third and first person shooters for the most part, except for Fallout, because I can... manage the system.
Yeah, you've got bats.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, again, confirmed, along with Battlefield 1. Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which I'm really looking forward to.
I never played any of the Deus Ex games, so I don't know how to feel about it.
Really good stuff. You can actually get Deus Ex, which was a Human Revolution?
I think that was the old one.
Yeah, you can get it for like $3.
I played some of that one. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, it's a lot of RPG style things where decisions that you make actually affect other players in the game and how they treat you and stuff.
I like the art style in that game.
Yeah,
really, I was gonna say, I remember that awesome. It was very steampunk, and I like that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
A lot of like coppery tones and everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. He had awesome hair too.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Mankind Divided because it's a really good story. If you get the chance to play the original one, I believe it was on the original Xbox, and then Human Revolution or Evolution was actually on the 360.
If it's backwards compatible and it's $3, I very well may go play it.
yeah, because it is. It's good. I actually picked it up for $3 at GameStop, actually.
Hey.
So, yeah, how about that? The next one is Dishonored 2, which also looks really good.
I never
played the original Dishonored.
The original was so much fun. So, at least what drew me to Dishonored, I like the stealthy games where it's mostly melee, whatever. The fact that this game gives you the option that you can beat the entire game without killing a person.
Oh, nice.
So it all depends on how you play the game, how good you are at being stealthy, how you want to go about it. You can beat the entire thing, and they confirmed for number two that you can do the same thing. You can beat the whole thing without killing anyone.
Yeah, I got the original one on my Xbox, on my 360, because of Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah.
And I just haven't played it.
So
I gotta do that.
The first one was a very short game. It only took me maybe 4 or 5 hours to beat at the most. But I also slaughtered everybody. I walked in, not guns blazing, but I just killed everyone.
So there was that's the game that had the more people you killed, the more rats were, like, around the streets and stuff, is that correct?
Yep.
So your streets were just, like, nothing but rats at that point.
I was gonna say, I very well got to a point that I was walking on rats, there was no street.
Rats everywhere when Tucker's in town.
You know what, it was my first time running through the game, I didn't realize at that point that I could not kill people, so I was like, oh, they saw me, now they have to die.
They gotta die if they see you.
And it got to the point where one of the things that you can get when you level up is that if you kill somebody without them knowing you're there, they turn to ash, so you don't have to worry about hiding the body. Literally, you just go up behind and nobody knows that you're just slaughtering everyone.
That sounds pretty handy.
It was nice. And I hope that's in the second one, because it will make me want to play that game so much more, because I can just go back to slaughtering everybody.
Yeah.
That's so fun. I mean, I gotta play it now. And the thing is, I gotta get this remodeled on before I can play it. The next game is F1 2016.
I'm kind of over that franchise.
A series of Final Fantasy games. You've got Final Fantasy 15, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius, and Final Fantasy 16 Heavensward. So Square Enix, they really got to get this thing together, because Final Fantasy 15, I played the demo of it, and it was fine, but it wasn't anything that made me even close to enthused about the game. It looked good, but they pretty much all do.
I think I've played maybe one Final Fantasy game in my entire life. It was for the PS2. I remember starting on a ship of some sort, being able to figure out where to go, and then immediately selling it back because I couldn't figure it out. So that was my experience. Like, I have never played Final Fantasy. I could never figure it out in whichever game that was. I don't remember the number. Just confused the hell out of me.
Yeah, you know my stance on Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I see. I like Final Fantasy VII. I love Final Fantasy IX. And a lot of the people like the older ones, like 6. 3 is a really popular one, I think. I like the old school ones. I don't so much like the newer ones.
13 was a pretty bad one, I hear.
Yeah.
It's kind of the most hated one that I always hear about.
Yeah,
gets to the point that when one game series has had, which mind you, Call of Duty is getting up there too in the numbers, but when one game series is on number 15, and there was a 10, a 10-2, and then I think there was another one that they had a game and a, like, second one of that game, there's just too many. How do you keep a story going for that long?
Yeah. Some spinoffs too, there was Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, it's just,
Tactics is supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah, I hear that one's pretty good.
Final Fantasy 13, and then they had Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns, and then they had another one that was the Final Fantasy 13, but it was like there were three different Final Fantasy 13 versions.
You can't keep a story going for 17 games. It doesn't work.
Well, look at how fast, like, Assassin's Creed fell apart there after...
Yeah.
They couldn't keep the story going for, what, like 7 or 8 games in that game?
Yeah.
But again, at least Final Fantasy doesn't try to shove one down your throat every single fall. I mean, there was a couple of years ago, Assassin's Creed asked you to buy 2 Assassin's Creed games. One for last gen, one for current gen. Hey, you gotta play them all if you wanna know the full story. Screw that. I don't have time to play 2 Assassin's Creed games.
I was gonna say, Unity was the shipwreck that it was.
And last year, Syndicate. Hey, everything's fixed. This just isn't. I'm out. I'll go back to Black Flag.
I honestly don't know if I've played in Assassin's Creed since 3.
Yeah, it's been a while then.
Yeah, Black Flag looked cool. I just never got the opportunity to play it. And then I heard so many bad things about Unity and Syndicate and all the newer ones that I was like, I give up. I'm not going to waste my time trying to play these again if they're just going to be what they are.
Yeah, Uncharted, finishing up Uncharted 4, I was so sad to see that game end. The only way I could get some more pirate fix was to go back to Black Flag. So I actually put about 10 hours in that since I finished up Uncharted 4.
Yeah, with Uncharted, I have not been able to play it yet, but I did watch a full playthrough, and even just the story is so good. Oh, it's...
See, it's one that I have to play yet. I just haven't played it. And now that they have the Uncharted Collection, it's like everybody that I talk to says, you have to play this game, you have to play it, it's awesome. Yeah. The entire story, they're like, and I just haven't yet. And you guys talk about it again, and I'm like, my God, everybody loves this. Because we've not had this conversation with you, Tucker.
And Naughty Dog,
even you know about it.
I like that Naughty Dog threw in the little Easter egg that they did, which I don't want to say what it was, because I don't want to...
Oh, yeah, don't say what it is.
No. I'm not going to say what it is, but they threw in a really, really, really cool Easter egg, and it's like right at the start of the game, and it's amazing.
Nice.
You get to it, and you're just like, they actually, all right, here we go, this is going to be good, and it just goes from there.
Nice.
Yes, I spent a couple hours a week judging Brian for not having played the Nathan Drake Collection. And I want to mail him my copy just so he has to play it. You got to play those games, man. You have no idea. You're just going to be like, I can already see the conversation we're going to have. You're going to be like, dude, you were right. And because I am. You've got to play those games, man. They're awesome.
Yeah, I have to. And eventually I will.
No more settlement building in Fallout. You've pleased the people to 100% now.
Yeah, no.
You can move on from that task. You gotta try the Uncharted games.
That was my moment of the year, was getting the Benevolent Leader trophy.
Yeah.
Moving on, they got a new Forza title. I don't know if this untitled new Forza is actually Forza 6. I don't know if they're having something separate.
I think it's supposed to be Forza 6. I don't know if they're going to call it Forza 6, but it's essentially, like, the next one in, I don't want to call it a series, but, like, the next one that's up. I know it's not going to be another Horizon sort of game, so I don't know what else it would be.
Yeah, because the only thing that I could think of is if they were just going to debut the NASCAR expansion pack, or DLC.
I don't know if that would have a big enough draw to bother announcing. I mean, it's just a DLC that's not necessarily that big of a deal.
Yeah.
How hardcore into the Forza franchise are you, Tucker?
That's a game that I haven't played in a while. I really liked 3, which I think was for the 360. And I liked that how customizable all the cars were, and that it wasn't just NASCAR, you could make 400 left turns. The fact that they have the, like, 7,000 tracks that they do that are all so different is... It's a lot of fun. I just never had any friends that were into the racing game, so I never really spent the time on them.
Yeah, it takes such a huge time commitment, and plus the peripherals, too, you know, you have to... If you want to get really good, you need to have a wheel. I mean, that's just the way it's been.
Those are hundreds of dollars, so no thanks.
And that's one more thing to trip over, you know, with the dance... The Dance Dance Revolution mat and the power pad from the NES. I mean, enough peripherals.
I wish I still had Dance Dance Revolution. I used to be so good at that game.
Yeah, it was a great workout.
Yeah, and then the next game is actually Hitman, which I thought Hitman was supposed to come out, and I've heard so many different rumors about whether or not Hitman's even going forward.
Originally, it was supposed to come out last December, wasn't it?
Didn't stuff for it already come out? Like, aren't they doing that, like, episodic?
It was something like that, and then they had the Hitman Go that was coming out, like, simultaneously.
Yeah.
And that's why I get so confused about it all, because, like, you see things getting canceled all the time, and I thought Hitman was on the list of things that were getting canceled, but apparently they're actually going to have a playable version or something... viable to actually present at E3 this year, so... We'll see, I guess.
I'm very curious, then, because they already had two that came out, like, last year. I can't imagine that they already have another one, but I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah. It could be DLC as well. Because like I said, with Just Cause 3, I know that that is actually a DLC pack.
Yeah.
So Hitman could have a DLC thing with a bunch of new missions or something as well. The next one is actually I Am Setsuna, which I am completely unfamiliar with.
I was going to say, I have no idea. I can't even throw something in about it because I have heard nothing.
I've never heard of this game.
Yeah, me neither. And I don't know. It's wondering if it's a new IP. But Just Cause 3 was next on the list. I know that that is an expansion pack or DLC. Just Cause 3 is a ton of fun. I love it. It's just a good time.
I haven't gotten to play it yet. I got it for free. It's been sitting in the queue to be downloaded. I just never had the space to be able to put it on my Xbox.
And you'll find that it's really fun. You just get to destroy a bunch of stuff.
I was going
to
say, you pretty much fly around, blow things up, and just do whatever you please. And that grappling hook looks amazing.
It's fun. Dude, you shoot people in the face. That's my favorite thing to do.
I was going to say, you can gather people from all four of their limbs, launch them in the sky with those rocket bomb things, and just do ridiculous things. Like,
it looks so
much fun. I just haven't had the space on my Xbox.
Yeah, you'll sit there, and while you're playing it, you'll just laugh. And you'll just shoot people with the grappling hook in the face, and you'll do all these insane things, and you'll just laugh the whole time. Because it's almost like, it feels a little bit like a Grand Theft Auto game.
Oh.
A little bit.
But there's also, like, it's just different. You can do different things. It's not just, you gotta check it out, Ryan, if you haven't checked it out.
I've never played a Just Cause game.
Yeah, get Just Cause 3. Run it at a freaking Redbox.
Okay.
For a day. And literally, like, in the first hour, you'll be like, this is great.
I was going to say,
the grappling hook sounds pretty cool.
I don't even remember playing Just Cause 2 for like maybe an hour, but the only thing that I remembered, I was flying a jet, hit a button by accident, and jumped out and was standing on the bottom of the jet as it was flying. Like, you just do the most absurd things.
Yeah, that's the entire first part of the, like, kind of the prologue of the game, is you climb out on the wings of the plane and just start shooting them like an RPG at a bunch of different targets. And you're standing on the plane just firing RPG round after RPG round. It's just so fun.
All right, you can get the collector's edition on Amazon for $60 right now.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I got it during a flash sale. And, it was a flash sale or developer sale, publisher sale. Either way, I got it for like $25, I think.
That's a pretty good deal. It comes with a grappling hook, an actual physical grappling hook.
Oh, no, that's dude. Cool.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
It probably doesn't actually work, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, if it did, I'd spend too much time trying to channel my inner Nathan Drake, and I'd probably just hurt myself, so it's probably best that it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to a game that we won't hurt ourselves on, and it's The Legend of Zelda Wii U. Which they've actually pushed back for a simultaneous release, I believe, on the NX as well.
Yes.
So that'll be kind of interesting, but they're going to be showing that at the E3. Mafia 3 as well. A lot of people like the Mafia series.
From what I've seen of it, it looks like it's going to be a better game than GTA 5 was. So I'm really excited.
That's a bold statement, Tucker.
I know it's a very bold statement, but Mafia 2 was a lot of fun, and they added so much in Mafia 3 that it legitimately looks better than GTA 5.
There's probably not going to be a Trevor Phelps character in this one, though, so that's going to be
unfortunately not, but gameplay-wise, and with things that you can do, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice. That'll be fun to see. The next one was Milestone SRL and Valentino Rossi the Game. On principle alone, I'll never buy anything that's a game that has the word Rossi in it.
Yeah.
And then a game called Nio. Not familiar with that either. Persona 5. A Star Ocean, Integrity, and Faithlessness, which is kind of a fun name.
It sounds like a Square Enix game, doesn't it?
It is a Square Enix game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And that's got to be an expansion pack as well. I believe Star Ocean is actually already in existence. And one of the biggest ones that I can't wait to see is Titanfall 2.
I'm excited for this one, too. Climbing the big robots and drive around, us PlayStation guys get a crack.
Yeah.
See, which is nice, as long as it doesn't crash and burn like the first one did.
Yeah.
Titanfall was fun for a month, and then there was no point playing it anymore. It was just boring.
Well, there was absolutely no story involved with Titanfall 1, was there? See,
no.
I hate it when they do that.
It was all online, and with the online, most of the people that you ended up killing weren't real people anyway. They were like NPC grunts.
Oh, God.
Like, it was, unless you were fighting somebody in one of their big robots, or you were in one of the couple specific game types, it was kind of like playing a Battlefield where there's like, it's like 30 on 30, but most of them are just like NPC grunts.
That sounds just terrible.
Running against the wall.
Yeah, it was not fun. It was not fun.
That's kind of sad, because the game itself looked awesome.
Yeah, it's got great art design in it, and this one is getting a story. I mean, I think they listened to the outcry, so, I mean, even if it's something like a basic 6-8 hour campaign, I mean, I'm in. It's robots.
I was going to say, as long as there's some sort of campaign, it was another really old game. It was original Xbox. Mech something, but you just drove giant robots. Mech Assault, that's what they were. Oh, if it could be anything like those, those campaigns weren't that long either, but it was just you drove giant robots and fought things. That's all I wanted.
I like the sound of that.
It's fun. It's mindless fun is what it is. And, I actually have, Battletech on the freaking Genesis here.
So awesome. Remember the toys you could get and stuff like that for Battletech? Man, Battletech was, probably like 88 Battletech was huge.
Yeah, and the thing about that is one of those games, we've talked about it in the past, Ryan, that you're like, man, I kicked ass at this game. And then you put it in and you're like, holy shit, I suck at this game.
Yeah, a lot of rough to shake off.
Yeah, because game theory has changed so much that you go back and you're like, oh man, I used to kick ass. And then you're like, holy cow, I just completely forgot how to play it.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun, but... the next one is a game called Yooka-Laylee.
Literally. It's just called Yooka-Laylee?
It's not spelled like Yooka-Laylee. It's actually Y-O-O-K-A hyphen L-A-Y-L-E-E.
What?
So, Yooka-Laylee. I hope this isn't Rock Band like game.
No, I'm looking at it right now, and it's Yooka the Chameleon and Laylee the Bat joined together in this platforming adventure from some of the same game design minds as the classic Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, there you go.
See, but it's not Banjo-Kazooie, so I don't want it.
Yeah, from the same minds.
But see, same minds doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, technically, I guess same mind could be like the janitor that was working at the studio.
Exactly.
You gotta temper your expectations there. It sounds great as a nice tagline, but I have a feeling Yooka-Laylee's gonna suck.
This was actually a Kickstarter game, too.
It's definitely not gonna be great.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And then the final game.
Kickstarter, but...
the final game on the list so far of confirmed games for E3 2016 is World Rally Challenge. I think World Rally Championship 6.
Mm.
So, I think it's World Rally. Look it up real quick. FIA World Rally Championship 6. So, it's kind of off-road rally racing.
That could be kind of fun.
It could be. I mean, especially if they did sort of like an Iron Man off-road.
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Off-Road is a great game if you haven't played that.
Why no developers just copied the code from that and made it pretty again? I would play that nonstop.
Even the old, MX versus ATV games, if you're trying to go for that, off-roady feel, those were so much fun.
Yeah. Just
the one they need to bring back. If I could have SSX Tricky for a next-gen system, snowboarding, I need something that's not Sean White, because those games were awful.
Yeah, snowboarding, skateboarding genre just kind of, they absolutely killed that.
I was going to say, the original ones were the best. So, for snowboarding, SSX Tricky was amazing. It was just racing and ridiculous things. skateboarding, anything past the original Tony Hawk's Underground was not that great.
Yep. Well, remember when they put, me and Brian have discussed this, do you remember, Tucker, the peripheral that they came out with, the actual skateboard?
Yeah.
I remember going to Walmart and seeing just tons of those on the shelves because everybody thought, hey, people bought plastic guitars, they'll definitely buy fake skateboards that they can stand on, and it sucked.
That was like Tony Hawk Grind or something, and it was bad.
So bad. Just terrible.
The last time I saw one of those skateboards was actually at Walmart in the clearance section, and there was more dust on it than in an Indiana Jones set piece.
I mean, if the price was right, I'd pick one up just for, like, the ironic, you know, hey, guys, you know, let's have a couple Coors Lights and let's pull out the Tony Hawk skateboard. Remember how bad this thing was? Ha ha. But, yeah, I don't know what they're going for.
I mean, it's $6 and you can't move the thing?
Yeah, it's so bad.
That's nuts. But you could burn it for heat. For less than $6. But, I don't know. Anyway, what we're going to do right now, fellas, and I'm going to keep you guys alive, we're going to do something that's pretty risky, if you consider. Mart sent us an MP3 of some E3 predictions or something. I'm not even sure what it is, because I didn't listen to it ahead of time, which is what makes it so risky. So we're going to play that. It's about 3.5 minutes, and then we'll be probably laughing throughout it, I would assume. And then we'll comment on what he had to say. This is Mart of 1UP Power Up, right here on the 1UP Club Podcast Network, which is, if you haven't been paying attention, a PC-based news, PC gaming-based news show that just started this past week, right here on the 1UP Club Podcast Network. So Mart sent us this in. We're going to listen to it right now, if I can call it up. And here it is.
Cue the music.
Yo, get it twisted. This rap shit is my motherfucker's fucking game. Fuck what you heard. It's what you hearing. It's what you hearing, listen. It's what you hearing, listen. It's what you hearing, listen. X don't give it to you.
I know, right? You're probably thinking, whose balls did I have to fondle to get my very own preview? I can't tell you his name, but it rhymes with Ryan. And let me tell you, he's smoother than a shaven puck bunny down there. So E3 2014, I fell in love with No Man's Sky. But some of the best love stories start with a rant, and that's exactly what this is, a love story. Love is a beautiful thing. When you find it, the whole world tastes like Daffodil Daydream. So you've got to hold on to love, tight, never let go. Don't make the same mistakes I did. Got it? Yeah. Well, the whole world tastes like Mama Juice after hot yoga.
So, what does Miss Mama Juice taste like?
Like two hobos fucking in a shoe filled with piss. I mean, I've got no problems with Sean Murray. I mean, he's a delightful guy. He really is. True legend. But at E3 2015, that was a career low for me. Did I say this was a love story? It's more like a horror story. That is going to have to express some rage. Here we are, weeks away from E3 2016 and the scheduled release of No Man's Sky, and we're looking at yet another delayed game. I predict the big corporate cock gobbler Sony will be showing us the promised land of releases again this year. I've never said this to anyone before, but don't swallow it. They'll be showing us yet more games that won't get released in 2016. Come on, Sony, just finish some fucking games the fuck up.
Language, please!
If I ever decide to become a game developing shit swizzler who works with a bunch of other little wieners at a London office with some creepy, beardy, Heaven's Gate looking motherfucker, on that day, I'll send you a happy ass friend request. I'm touching myself tonight.
I think he was. I think he was to play No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it's that's our mark.
I was convinced at the beginning that he had just sent you DMX's X Gon' Give It To You and was just like, you're going to play this and think I'm going to say something.
Yeah, I thought it was like some kind of Mart mixtape, and you know, he got confused and sent you to the wrong MP3.
Yeah, you can always count on Mart for some good laughs.
Yeah.
Very vehement. Yeah. That, but at the heart of it, I mean, No Man's Sky delayed. I mean, he just wants to play the damn game already. Jeez.
Yeah, I think me and Tucker are right there with him. I mean, we want to play it too. And we can't because, you know, they keep pushing it back and back and back and, you know, no real explanation why. It's just not done. It needs more polish. You know, that's kind of the go-to, you know, easy way out. We got to polish it up. We're going to make it better for you. And everybody laps that up. Oh, yeah, yep, better to delay it and get a better game. That's not always the case, guys.
Yeah, it's really not. And sadly, we've seen a lot of times where they do push something back, and then you end up with a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
You mean Destiny?
Exactly. And I was actually, for some reason, the name of the game is escaping me. Shit. And now I feel like an idiot for even mentioning it. I should have just stuck with the Destiny thing and just said, yeah, Destiny!
Yeah.
And then stopped. But, like, I had this game on the tip of my freaking tongue, and now it's gone. But, yeah, we've seen it too many times where they just push stuff back and push it back, and then by the time they actually show it and put it out there, then it's garbage. Like, honestly, we're just talking about skateboard games. Why didn't they push back Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 and actually make a decent fucking game?
Yeah, you had a chance there to kind of write a franchise that had gone way off the rails. No pun intended there, Tony. But, you know, you had a chance to fix something that was beloved to so many people a long time ago. I mean, that was the game to play at parties for 3-4 years in a row, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. I mean, that made my tournament for best game ever, and it advanced to, I think, the third round. So people still have fond memories of that game. I don't know why they can't fix it, but at this point, just bury it. It's done.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, developers can't find a way to recapture the magic that was the early Tony Hawk games.
Well, in a way, they did actually recapture the magic with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. Not for the specific 5, but once you go back and play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, it's even better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I like that.
Yeah, because I have it here at the house, and I love it. Like,
it's a great
game. My son
and
I play it, and we're working on unlocking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because once you get Spider-Man, then it's all over.
Yeah.
You get all the points.
I was going to say, I had gone back and played Tony Hawk's Underground a couple months ago, I think it was. And the fact that I still had the ability and the entire final run memorized just shows you how many times I played that game.
Oh, yeah.
I probably haven't touched it in 8 years, and I had the entire final run still off by heart.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm going through it with my 11-year-old, and watching him play it and try to master some of the different things, it just brings back all the memories, because I was a freshman in college at Slippery Rock in northeastern Pennsylvania, or northwestern Pennsylvania, rather, and which tells you how good of an education you get at Slippery Rock, and we would play Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 all the damn time. And, you know, class, whatever. We had some skating to do. And I just love that game so much. And that's why I'm so glad that I actually did keep it and have it here to play with him. Because he has a blast. I mean, he just does all these stupid things, and he's not even sure what he's doing most of the time. But he has so much fun with it. And it just reminds me of all the fun that I had with it whenever I was younger as well. But yeah, Pro Skater 5 is just so bad, and I hope people lost their jobs over that shit show. Because it literally it was. It's just completely terrible. But thank you, Mart, for your contribution. We 100% agree with you. On the basis of so many games just get pushed back for whatever reason, and I just want to play the damn game already.
And one thing I have noticed, most of the games that do get pushed back are mostly Sony titles, and I don't know why. It happens to Xbox titles too, but everyone that you see that's like, oh, it got pushed back another month, it's always a PS4 game.
Almost, yeah.
And I don't know why. Maybe it is just Sony's really bad at that whole thing. But, like, every time I'm like, oh, well, that's a PS4 game, so it doesn't really affect me. But at the same time, it's that same reaction every single time.
Well, now that they've partnered with Hideo Kojima, that'll never happen again.
Yeah, Hideo is not known for, and I love the man, I love his works. That's my favorite gaming franchise of all time, is Metal Gear. I can't wait to see what he does next, but I know when he drops his first deadline, it's going to be 2 years after that. I mean, it's just absolutely the way it is. He's just given free rein to do whatever he wants, and maybe that's why his stuff turns out so good, but I want the game now, man. Just give it to me. Give it to me.
Maybe we'll see him at E3.
That would be interesting. That would definitely be a great way to create buzz at the Sony conference.
It definitely would be.
Yeah.
Right now, we're actually going to do some plugs and shout-outs at this point. So, Tucker, why don't you go tell everybody where they can find you and things like that, and we'll get ready to wrap this up.
Well, the only real social media that I use is Twitter. And yes, before I say it, I do understand that my tag is very weird, but it's at JeffSucks_666. That's GEOFSUX_666. It's a reference to a song, and that's what I'll leave it at.
I did wonder. I was like, why did he change it to that? I'm like, of all the things, I'm like, hmm.
It's an obscure reference that not a lot of people will understand, but the people that do, they know what it is.
Nice. Excellent. So be sure to check him out on Twitter. And Ryan, let's throw it over to you.
Twitter, as always, is the absolute best way to get a hold of me, and that Twitter handle is at Ryhamner. GameBlock is the website, game-block. Do not forget the hyphen. That is very, very important if you want to find the site. Got a lot of stuff planned for E3. Brian, I know you're going to be on vacation. Yeah. Tucker, you, according to plan, our plan is to have Tucker come on the night of the Microsoft conference. Going to try and round up a couple other Xbox guys to join me for that, to kind of give some E3 coverage, just kind of break down what we thought Microsoft did well, what we thought they did poorly. So kind of keep an eye out for that. That should be in the form of a podcast, probably an article to accompany that podcast as well. So keep an eye out for that stuff.
Nice. Excellent. And you can reach me at TunesBrian on Twitter, or the OneUpClub at gmail.com is where you can email the show. Gentlemen, I do want to thank you, before I get too far into this, for joining me for this episode. If you have any other questions or want to contact us or anything like that, visit OneUp.club. That's www.one-up.club, where you can find ISS feeds, iTunes feeds, all that contact information and things like that, a whole lot more, at oneup.club. Also, be sure to check out Mart and Smoke and Scott's all-new podcast, as I mentioned earlier, One Up Power Up, where they focus on video game news with a PC gaming tilt, available exclusively here on the One Up Podcast Network. Also, this show is, this particular show, One Up Heads Up, is also available on the literally all-new Trending Topics Network, along with many other great shows like Hanging with Heavy, Old School at the Movies, the Spanish Announce Table, and a whole lot more. For a full list of those shows, just go to TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. On behalf of Brian and Tucker, my name is Brian, and this has been a special E3 preview edition. That's 2016. Here from One of Doc Club's Heads Up Podcast. Thank you very much for listening.